Well, it's a great blessing this morning to have Brother Dale Miller with us here from the Bethesda congregation in Plain City, Ohio. We appreciate his willingness to share this morning. He was ordained to the office of deacon only 3 months ago. He is the son-in-law of Melvin and Fanny Knisley. We just rejoice in his willingness to be used this morning and just to treat you that you pray for him as he comes and shares with us. Brother Dale.
I consider it a privilege of being here this morning, not necessarily up here, but as the Lord would call, we want to be willing to fulfill our responsibilities. We do bring you greetings from the Bethesda congregation, Plain City. And I guess this morning, you always look for those things of confirmation of, you know, how God leads and so on. And the very first song was a real blessing. It asks or it talks about the things that we can offer to God. And it zeroes down in to the heart in the last verse. And that's what we want to do this morning is honor the one that we just celebrated his birth. And we don't want to leave him in the manger, but we want to honor the one that was willing to give his life, shed his blood for our soul's salvation. For a message this morning, you can turn to the book of Kings, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 20 is what we want to, is where text is at. You know, we as humans, we get carried away with things, don't we? I entitled the message, No Time to Lose. And I know there's different ways of taking this title, No Time to Lose. You know, we need to make good use of our time. Time's running out. And I think we all know that, we realize that. And this is maybe more God's perspective in this title than often our focus. But there's no time to lose, and even the devil knows it. The devil knows he has but a short time. And I think that's why we are facing a lot of the struggles that we are, because he knows he has but a short time. And he's doing what he can to draw man's hearts away from God. The way that we'll probably look at it this morning is more, you know, we're so busy. We don't have any time to lose. You know, we've got work running out of our ears, and there's a lot to be done. And probably so. We're driven by deadlines. And if we take that word and underline the dead, maybe that would help us sometimes to really see what's important. They're deadlines. I mean, if you make a list of things that have to be done, you know, there's a lot of them that you can cross out. Mark them off, because they might not be as important as what we thought they were. Often when people ask us, especially in the holiday season, how are you? Oh, we're so busy. We're so busy. We've got so much to do. It's like a rat race. And I think Lowell might have touched on this morning. Contentment would probably take care of a lot of rat races this morning, I'm guessing. And I think it's probably a problem that they've had down through the years, down through time or history. And we want to look at a little illustration this morning that we find in Kings, and also there's one in the New Testament. My wife read a book The title is Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. I think that's the state it right. And so I picked a few snitches out from that book here and there, and so you might pick up on those if you read the book. And maybe I'm talking to a crowd of people that don't have any problems with being busy, overly busy, with rat race stuff. Plain City knows about it, but I guess that's, when we come out here, Kansas seems to be more laid back, and maybe it's because we go to Grandpa's, and, we kind of sit back, and there's a lot of family times to enjoy, and maybe, just maybe, it'd be all right to enjoy some of those family times other times, too. Get rid of, or maybe prioritize a little bit. Would that help us maybe in having more of those times? What is busyness? Jonathan Gershny says something like this. Busyness plainly relates to externally observable work or leisure activities. But nevertheless, the state itself is entirely subjective. Now, we can see somebody at work, okay? But whether or not they're busy or overly busy is the way that they feel or think about their work. So, and busyness is not expressed the same by everyone. For some people that are overly busy, for others, their busyness would be leisure time. When we think of older people washing dishes, it takes quite a while sometimes, maybe up to the next meal before they're done with their dishes. For others, they could whip those dishes through in a hurry and be leisure time. So if it takes you longer to perform a task than someone else, that's okay. Some are more efficient. Some don't do as thorough a job, and so on. Talents vary. So really, overly busy is probably a relative statement. Depends on age and abilities and the such like. So we need to be careful in judging other people's lifestyles from our perspective. Busyness itself, is it sin? I'm not sure that it is. And I almost question whether there is something like being too busy. That could be debated, I'm sure. I'd like to suggest this morning that it's the neglect to prioritize our work and leisure that invokes judgment upon us. I think that the thing of prioritizing is probably what we stand in need of most. Do you ever think of God looking down from heaven, and the Father and the Son are there, and they're talking together, and they're looking down, and they're watching us as people scurrying around down here, so busy. When Jesus, before he left to go back to heaven, he said, "Occupy till I come." And I'm guessing he's looking at the Father and saying, I told them to occupy till I come again, but that's not what I meant. All that scurrying around, that tearing around, they are forgetting the very thing that I went to earth to do. It's building that relationship with God. That's what's important. And too often in our busyness, that's what we forget. We forget that relationship. In fact, when we become so busy, one of the first things that goes, maybe I'm just talking to myself in this, is our devotional time, our spending time with God in prayer. That's often the first thing that goes. And this is for young and old. We tend to think from the outside in instead of the inside out, from the heart, as God would have us to. It's because we're involved in the physical things of this life, the material things, those are things that occupy our vision and emotions and our mind and so on. So one of the main points this morning is connect with God to prioritize our activities. If we get God in the picture, that's going to take care of a lot of other things. It's going to take care of a lot of our runnings, our spinning our wheels, and so on. We need to be willing to lay down my will in pursuing the urgent and doing God's will in the important kingdom work. You know, we get this mail from time to time, and on the outside it says urgent. Well, just about always you know that we have a file down here for that one. It's file 13. Because it's urgent to the sender, but not to us quite often. Okay, in 1 Kings, we have a man of God here. He's a prophet. And I wrote down here, he made a situational replica and disguised himself and showed his masterpiece to King Ahab. He replayed a scene that King Ahab was involved in. If we look here in chapter 20 of 1 Kings, verse 39, it says, "And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, Thy servant went out in the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver." Verse 40 is what we want to zero in on. It says, "And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone." And I think that's often how it is for us, those lost opportunities. We were busy here and there, doing what we thought was urgent, and probably it was at least not the most important. This man, he was asked to keep this man, to keep him captive. He was from the other army, and he was supposed to keep him. But he says he was busy here and there, and he got away. You know, God had done so much for the children of Israel here in the what was the king's name here? Ahab, King Ahab. He was supposed to kill King Ben-Hadad. He had specific instructions to, and Ben-Hadad, he pled for his life. He said, "I will give you lands. I'll give back the lands that my father took from you, and the cities, and so on." And Ahab, for some reason, was willing to sell his life and the life of the children of Israel for a little bit of financial gain. And I think that's often what you and I do. We sell our lives with this thing of financial gain and so on, busyness. That's just for a short time. He didn't have this land for a long time, if at all. And that's what this prophet was telling him. He was saying that you're the one that was supposed to get rid of this king, and you let him go. And he was just playing this back to him. And I think it's a good lesson for us. As thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And too often we neglect the important versus the urgent. There's so many voices calling for us, and that's what causes the rat race many times. You know, like at home, I remember we had the watering trough that us boys had to fill up. We had a decent supply of water. We had a cistern. There was a spring up on the hill that we tapped into, and that's what fed our cistern. Well, we had to be careful because we did run out of water sometimes. We had dairy and so on. And what comes back to my mind is sitting at the supper table, and somebody was in the shower, and all of a sudden they holler and say, "There's no water." You know what the first thought is? Did somebody let the water run out in the barn? And yeah, that's what happened. And we go out, and the bullpen is flooded. We have a lot more work than what we would have had if we'd have stuck with the watering trough till it was full, and then go do the other chores. But the other chores were so urgent. You know, we want to get done quicker. And so we went and did other things, and we forgot what we were actually supposed to be doing. Too often, that's the way we are. We're like this servant, making excuses for our negligence in fulfilling the responsibilities given to us. But let's consider some of his reasoning. I think we can identify with it. He says, "I was out in the midst of the battle." And that's how it is in this life. We're out there, we're working, we're doing. And a lot of good things. He said, you know, he probably saw all the wounded people out there, out in the midst of the battle. There's a lot of wounded people around us today. And maybe that's why we're so busy. He had a compassionate heart. I really think he did. And but he neglected to prioritize the important from the urgent. His responsibility was to guard. There was others that had the Red Cross responsibilities. He was supposed to guard the one that was given to him. There's a little story given in this book. I call it the Stone Story. And if you read it, I apologize because I didn't bring it with me, so I don't have the details. But it went something like this. Jesus was with this man, and he had given him a responsibility. He had a little wagon, this man did, and he was supposed to take this little wagon somewhere up on the hill. And Jesus had put this rock in this little wagon and told him to take it. And no problem, that really wasn't a hard task. So off he goes. As he entered a little village that he was passing through, there are some friends there, and they also had some stuff that goes up to the top of the hill, and they asked him if he would perchance be willing to take those with him. Well, he said, sure he would. He'll take them along. So he put their rocks in the little wagon. And as he went, he came to some other friends. The same thing happened. Till finally, his wagon was pretty full. And it wasn't too bad out on the level to pull the wagon. But when he got to the hill, he started up the hill. And all of a sudden, this wagon got heavy. And he got tired. And he got frustrated. He finally said, you know, this is more than what I can handle. And he was wondering why God gave him this responsibility, why Jesus gave him this heavy load to take. And he stopped in frustration. And then somebody walked up beside him there, and it was Jesus. And he said, "What's the matter, son?" Well, he said, this is too heavy a load. I mean, I can't take it. The hill's too steep. No, I can't make it." Well, Jesus picks up a bag of rocks and said, "What's this?" And he said, "I had some friends back there in that little town, and they want me to take them up to the top of the hill since I was going anyways." laid them aside, picked up another pile, said, "What's this?" "Well, there's some other friends." And all the way down till there was that one stone left in the wagon. And Jesus said, "You know, this was the responsibility I gave to you, to take this one stone up on top of the hill. The other people had their responsibilities." And you know what? That's often what we do. We load ourselves up. And there's various reasons for that. You know, Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And if we find ourselves so bogged down that we can't go on in our Christian life, maybe it's time to reconsider. What for responsibility did God give me? And it's good, it's right to bear one another's burdens. That's Bible. But God has also given different responsibilities to different people. And he says, "His yoke is easy and his burden is light." Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. We have the story here of Martha and Mary. And to me, it's interesting what God said. In Luke 10, verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass, as they went," and let me touch on something here that maybe I'm reading something into here that I shouldn't have, but it says, "as they went." Who do you think that was? If there was one, there was probably 13, right? Jesus and his 12 disciples. So, knowing that, we might understand a little bit better why Martha was so troubled about many things as she was. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" I was blessed with that. One thing. God gave us one thing that is of utmost importance. And, you know, as we come and do what Mary did, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we want to look a little bit at what sitting at the feet of Jesus might have been. You know, I don't think Jesus was scolding Martha. I think Martha was a very godly woman. I think she was a woman of great faith. If we think back of the time when Lazarus died, Mary said, "Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died." Martha said something similar. She said, "Jesus, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died, but even now, even if he's dead, what you ask of the Father, he can do." So I think she was a woman of great faith, and I don't think God or Jesus was actually scolding her for being concerned about the material things in life. In fact, if we go back through Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and some of those places, we see where we're told to work. It's okay to work. And it's okay to work hard. It's okay to be busy. Ecclesiastes writer says, "Generation after generation repeats the previous day's work." You know, that's what we do. Work is never done. It just isn't. So it's okay to be busy. But the lack of prioritizing the important from the urgent is often the cause of emotional stress. Right? I think so. Stress leads to discouragement. Discouragement to depression. Depression of such caliber can hardly be called anything but sin. And I want to be careful when I say that, because there are depressions that probably aren't sin. But if it's the lack of prioritizing, if that's where we fail in the lack of prioritizing with God, and we get so bogged down, then I think we should at least consider it. What is often the reason for our busyness? I have three things written down here. The first one, trying to gain favor with people. I think that is quite often our problem. Trying to gain favor with people. Number two, we find it difficult to be honest about our schedule and kindly say no when asked for a favor. You know, maybe if we were a little bit more honest about our schedules, what we have to do, what we feel God has given us to do, maybe we could eliminate some of our runnings. The third one, trying to gain favor with God. And I think this is probably where a lot of people get caught in. Trying to gain favor with God. And so we do, and we do, and we do. And it's often doing good. It's going to prison ministry. It's visiting people. And there's a whole list of things that we could... we'll mention some more here in a minute here. God will not overburden his children. We get so caught up in performance of doing what we think God wants of us instead of investing our time with God. And then we don't understand why God doesn't command others to help us like Martha did. We need to entreat God as to what we should do, not do just what we think we have time for. And I think there's a lot of Christian people that are going even the 10th mile because they don't prioritize. They are trying to do God's service. They're trying to please God. And there's another little note in this book. I think that's where I got this. That it talks about the kitchen where Martha was preparing things. She was so busy in the kitchen. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus in the living room. Suggestion was made, let's tear out the wall between the kitchen and the living room and make a dining room. And so we can... Now, it's a thought of, as we go about our work, that we need to honor God, that we need to be a service, sitting at the feet of Jesus. What is sitting at the feet of Jesus? Well, we had mentioned reading God's Word. And that is very important. Reading God's Word, prayer, and meditation. Singing as we work. That is tearing down those walls. And yes, going to church, prison, visiting, all that kind of stuff. Being conscious of God's presence with us as we go through the day's activities. And being a Deuteronomy 6:4-9 parent, and that's 24/7. That would be one that we could really branch out on. But showing hospitality and kindness to others. When we have company, keep the focus on the welcome, not the performance. I think that's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Give a listening ear to a struggling heart. You know, even if it's not on our to-do list, I think it's important to do that. And, you know, there's lots of things that we could add to this list of what we think is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And You know, with a little bit of discipline, I think there's most people can do this. Even people that aren't as dedicated to God, they can do a lot of these things. But there's one more I'd like to list here. And to me, this is where sitting at the feet of Jesus becomes real. Let's turn to Mark 14. I think it's Mark 14, verse 3. Yeah, here it talks about, well, it says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it out on his head." Now, the different Gospels give it a little differently. But what I'd like to suggest this morning is sitting at the feet of Jesus is the breaking of the alabaster box. Giving to Jesus what is precious to me. Giving what is costly. I'd like to suggest what is in the alabaster box in this stone vase is our heart. So as we look at that breaking of the alabaster box, we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. And yes, we can do all these other things, but I think it has to come to the place that we give what is most costly to us. There's nothing that is more precious because it's eternal. Our heart, our soul is eternal. And so that is the most precious thing that we have. And that is what we need to pour out at the feet of Jesus. You will either sell it, that is your heart, that is the alabaster box before it's broken. You will either sell it to the prince of this world for the price of the pleasures of this life, or you can pour it out at the feet of Jesus. Ahab, he was willing to sell his life, to sell his heart, and even the lives of the children of Israel for a little bit of financial gain. But you and I, let's break the alabaster box, pour our heart out before Jesus. See, if Jesus has our heart, then he has control of prioritizing your activities. Prioritizing with Jesus is a day-by-day thing. And Mary, she was not, she wasn't worried about the cost of her commitment. You know, there were some critics there. They said this ointment could have been taken and sold for a great sum of money and given to the poor. But she wasn't intimidated by their rude remarks. She knew what was most costly in her life. And it came by sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she poured it out there. So I would like to challenge us in our busy lifestyles, as we enter the new year, let's give our hearts to Jesus. He'll lead us. He'll help us to prioritize our activities each step of the day. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for your kindness, your blessings to us. Thank you, Father, for giving us that privilege to pour out our hearts before you. And we just desire, Lord, that you would take our hearts this morning and help us, Lord, to just lay it all out and to give it to you. Use us that would in a way that would glorify you. And may the aroma, the fragrance of our yieldedness to you flow out to those around us. May they see you and also desire to give their hearts to you. Just honor your name, Father. We thank you for Jesus, that he was willing to come down to sin-cursed earth, give his life, to shed his blood for our soul's salvation. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Brother Dale, for sharing with us. I believe that this message has certainly met me at my point of need. And I thank the Lord for that. As we look at a time now for testimonial response, I'd like to first of all ask Brother Stan Nisley to share, and then perhaps Brother Gerald, and then others of you as you feel led. Would you bring the mic forward, please, to Brother Stan?
It's been a blessing to be here again today, and praise the Lord for how he's been instructing us, me. I was particularly struck by a couple of things that Brother Dale mentioned. Busyness is not so much the level of activity, it's how I feel about what I'm doing. And I think that tells us some things about the nature of our hearts. I was also struck by how the devotional and the message tied together, at least for me, in the need for me to trust God. Because as I do that, then I can rest in contentment. I can be at rest when things are busy. Because rest is not the level of activity, but it's the condition of my heart. Praise the Lord.
Yes, thank you. Brother Gerald.
It was very good for us to be here as well today. Thank you, Dale, for that very timely, very important message for me. Two words came to my mind. One was goodness and the other worship. I find myself often going doing the good things and then not seeing the goodness of God and how important it is to actually revel in that goodness. Instead, I try to take that into doing good things. And somehow that's the equivalent of becoming good versus doing good. And I want to become good. The second word is worship, and I heard that also in Lowell's devotional this morning. What our hearts yearn after, what they adore, what they worship, is what we end up doing. And so it really is somewhat of a frightening proposition to examine what I'm doing, because in many ways it ends up being where my heart is, what my heart goes after. And when you look at that closely, sometimes it's a little scary because it's maybe not prioritized the best. And so I felt called to worship at the feet of Jesus in the midst of busyness and busy times and in wanting to do good things, but more importantly, becoming a good person. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Here at the front, Brother Benji will be next, and then I think we'll have another native son who's returned after this, Brother Wendell. I'd like to hear from you after Benji.
Well, I really enjoyed the message, and something that kind of bothered me was the question: Can we get unnecessarily busy trying to please God? And it doesn't seem right that could happen, but I think it comes out of a sort of forgetfulness about what pleases God. And he said something at the beginning, and I don't know if he intended to build this foundation, but he said something that our relationship with God is the number one thing, and that that seeking Him and His heart first is what He wants for us ultimately. And so I think it's when we get burned out, when we get stressed, doing what we think pleases God, I think it's a forgetfulness about what's important, and that God wants us to seek His heart first, and then out of that comes a life of doing good things. Thank you.
Thank you. And then after Brother Wendell, Brian, would you like to share after that?
This thing of priorities is the thing that seems to keep coming up. And I had to think of John, who is so relational in his depiction of Jesus. And there we hear Jesus saying, "I do nothing of my own initiative." And elsewhere, "I do only what I see the Father doing." And I think somehow if I could actually internalize that more, it would help clarify both the periods of activity and of rest, and having, as Stan was mentioning, that sense of rest even within the activity.
Yes, okay. Yes, if the Lord can just help us figure out which is the rock, He really wants us to get to the top of the hill. Okay, yes, Brother Brian.
I too appreciated the message, and I think the part that jumped out to me the most was the idea of pulling my wagon with the stone in it that Jesus put there for me. And recently I've been finding blessing and seeking God and asking Him what He has for me and finding His direction in that on a daily basis. I don't want to get to the point where I expect God to give me clear-cut answers for every minute of the day, because I know that's, at least from the people I've talked to, that's not a realistic expectation. And yet I do value and treasure the direction that He has given and the ways that He's been helping me to rely on Him for direction. Just this past week, I had the blessing of not needing to work all week, not to brag to anyone who did have to. But Wednesday in particular, I took a day to myself and God to sort through some of the things He's been teaching me, evaluate it, and journal it. And so I was, in the afternoon, I was at a coffee shop, and of course this is my time, right? Well, about the time I was getting ready to start journaling, a couple walked in and sat down close by and started chatting. It soon turned out to be a great blessing, because I was, in speaking to them, I was able to verbalize some of what God had been teaching me, and thus better sort through it than I would have probably been able to just journaling on my own. And so I thank God for that privilege, and then also prayed that He would help me be a blessing to them. And through our further conversation, God led and allowed me to speak into their life some words of truth that they needed to hear. And I just praise God for His Spirit, and I want to continue to be open to allow Him to direct what is the stone that He wants me to carry, and then out of knowing what that is, being willing to say no to the stones that aren't mine to carry.
Thank you. Leave us, Brother David.
Well, I'd simply like to affirm Brother Dale in the way he did minister to us this morning, and I just appreciated his bring us back to what is really important. And some of the things that others have mentioned this morning spoke very directly to me too. I needed this message. It calls us to what the psalmist said, told us to do or said to do, and that is to be still and to know that I am God. I might just add this too. I think for those of us who enjoy ministry, we need to remember there was only one Messiah. We're called to be like Him in many ways, but we are not the Messiah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. Brother Oren, would you have a word for us?
Well, this message was a real blessing to me and spoke to me, and it expresses what I desire to to have happen in my life and do it imperfectly. The verse that I thought about that someone has pointed out in a little booklet that was in the same vein of the message that that the booklet that Dale referred to was that Jesus, when he got to the end of his life, could say, "I finished the work you gave me to do." And the author conjectured that there was certainly other lepers to cleanse, there was other people that didn't get healed, but the fact that Jesus could say, "I finished the work you gave me to do," would bear out that Jesus did what Brother Dale was challenging us to do. He sought what the priority was that the Father wanted for him, and he prioritized and did it. I was blessed by the message.
Certainly, thank you for your responses here. May the Lord be honored as we, in this coming week, seek to prioritize in the way that He wants us to. Shall we sing? What a blessing that is when we can say, "My Savior has my treasure and He will walk with me." Will that not make all the difference? What a blessing that is. I'd like to ask Brother Julian to lead us in prayer as we arise for dismissal prayer.
Gracious Father, we come to you at the close of this service, recognizing we have many blessings, and
Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to this earth to show us the way to you. And Lord, in this time of remembering him coming, we long, as Dale has instructed us well through the Word, to fellowship with you and do that daily, and to understand how you want to order our lives and for us to prioritize the things that are really important. So God, from here we need your grace to be enabled to do that, and we ask that your Spirit remind us of these truths and also fill us so that we can do the work that you have called for each one of us to do in this coming week. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for that enabling grace. And we lean on that as we go from here. Bless our interaction among each other. Thank you for the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray that we could encourage and exhort one another in a way that pushes us on to perfection, maturity in Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.